Hi, good morning. I'm Kenny. I'm doing EMP today. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. We just started the theme for the year, The Way, and we've had like three really, really great messages from Pastor Samsung, Eugene, and Nate. So I just wanted to give my mini EMP The Way to just add to that. So 1 Kings chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 1 to 4. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, "I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promise, which he spoke concerning me, saying, 'If your sons are careful of their way and walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.'" Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning and this church, God, your house, that we can gather like this in the morning to worship you, to hear just words from you, just to help us this day, Lord. And I just pray, you know, in this EMP, Lord, that I could just deliver your word with power and authority, God, and that it would just be a pleasing to you this morning. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is King David, you know, David and Goliath, a man after God's heart. And this is, I think, a very significant passage because David's about to die, right? And when you're about to die, you would think that last thing you have to communicate is of vital importance. I mean, you look at movies, someone's about to die, like especially thriller movies, they have that last chance to share and they're like whispering and you're on the edge of it. And usually it's like a plot giveaway. So of course, they just die, right? But in this case, David has a chance to share. And essentially he shares with Solomon, who's going to become king, that, you know, he does this, he shares his, I guess, his own advice first, which is, you know, follow God's commandments. And then he shares what God shared with him, which is basically to walk before God in truth with all their heart and with all their soul. So that's God's part. And I'm just going to kind of go through, paraphrase King Solomon's life just to show what happens when you, I guess, when you're following God with all your heart and all your soul. So King Solomon, son of King David, he did three very significant, or three things that he's kind of known for. The first thing is he married the Pharaoh's daughter. So he married a foreign wife, and thus also creating an alliance between Israel and Egypt. And the second thing is he built a temple for God. Even, you know, King David, a man after God's heart, he wanted to glorify God, and he wanted to build a temple, but God didn't allow him. It was actually given to King Solomon to do. So he actually built a temple. It took 7 years, and he like imported like wood from like the best place, gold from the best place. He hired like goldsmiths from all like the best of the best to build this temple for 7 years, and it was like the temple, right? And the third thing he's known for is his wisdom. And it's a wisdom that he, it's not just he had it naturally. Well, maybe he had a little, but it was a wisdom from God. And so the story goes, there's one night as he, when he first became king, he went to an altar and was making sacrifices and just worshiping and just seeking God all night, right? Just kind of reflecting what David shared with him, seeking God with all his heart and soul. So that night, King Solomon had a dream, and God showed up in his dream and said to him, "King Solomon, what do you want?" Right? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I think this is what we would hope or desire for, this kind of experience with God. God comes to you, you know, "Hige, Nelly, what do you want?" Right? How would you guys answer? I mean, I guess we're all different, but, you know, you might ask for, like, "Oh, help me." Like, it's not even like being rich, right? But like, "Help me with my finances. You know, I got to pay off loans. I have a wedding coming up." Or maybe you're, or you say, "Oh, God, I need some friends. I feel really lonely. Give me some friends." Or maybe, you know, "God, I need a promotion, you know, so I can glorify you. Just give me a promotion." So let's see how King Solomon responds. He says to God, "Divine King, I would only ask for a wise heart to help me govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." Pretty selfless answer. And, you know, we talked about for the last three Sunday messages, a lot about what love is and the action of love, right? If you love your wife, the action is you're not going to cheat on her, right? If you love your wife, you'll spend quality time, you'll listen. And in that same way, because King Solomon loved God, loved his people, this was the, I guess, the fruit of the response, right? Which is he wanted to govern his people and basically judge them as God would judge them, right? And what's kind of, which is cool, the Bible says God was pleased, right? And that's pretty crazy. You think about us, we're so finite. We make such little decisions and choices, but those choices and decisions have the impact to affect how God feels, right? In the same way we can please God, we can also, I guess, anger God, we can break his heart, you know, like when we sin. But of course, I would hope we would strive to really please God. And because of that answer, right, this is what God said. He said, "I will give you that wisdom that you are asking for to, I guess, judge and govern his people, distinguish between right and wrong. You'll be the most wise person ever." But he also said, "I will also give you what you did not ask for. You will have riches and honor like no king before you." So he woke up from that dream. And King Solomon became really wise. And it was not a wisdom where, "Wow, that guy's smart," right? Like, "Oh, yeah, that wise rabbi." But when they saw King Solomon's wisdom, they recognized it was God. That's God's wisdom. So the most famous story was when an example of him using that wisdom is when two, widows came, or just two women, I think they were widows, and they came and they were both arguing over the same baby. Crazy. Like, one woman must have been crazy. So there was one baby, and they're both saying, "That's my baby, that's my baby." They argue back and forth, and King Solomon, in his wisdom, said, "All right, let's be fair. Let's cut the baby in half, so each of you get to take home half a baby." And of course, again, we shared about love and action. The mother who really loves the baby would not allow that. Her love for the baby is so real and sincere. She would rather give away the baby than have any harm done to the baby. Thus, of course, King Solomon didn't cut the baby in half, but gave the baby to the mom who was willing to give away the baby. And because of this, like, everyone around the world knew of King Solomon's wisdom, and it was like a God wisdom. So his wisdom came, and you know, if you look at how King Solomon reacted, which was he just wanted to seek God. God blessed him in other ways, right? And if you look later in the New Testament, Jesus talks about God's provision in that same way, and he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. So if you, as the story continues, he's got incredible wisdom to build wealth, incredible wisdom to build influence and network with diplomats and everyone around the world. And before you know it, his influence is so high. His wealth is crazy. He has like fleets of ships. He has thousands of chariots. He has things that he doesn't even need, right? He has like peacocks, spices. He has everything. And of course, you know, as he accumulates more and more, you know, more wealth, more influence, he loves God even more. No, he doesn't. So what happens is he becomes more and more greedy with these things, he actually begins to forget about God. These things get the better of him. And as he forgets, he also forgets about his people, right? The Israelites. He forgets what they want. And he starts to care more about what other people think of him. He wants to impress those, you know, representatives from other countries. And he wants to impress his wives. And soon he's following his foreign wives and he's worshiping other gods. So, does Solomon believe in God? Like, if in that circumstance, and you ask Solomon, hey, do you still believe in God, you know, Jehovah? He'd probably say yes. I'm sure he still hit up the temple once in a while, but that's not enough. I mean, the reality is even Satan believes in God, right? The key is, does he love God? Does Solomon love God with all his heart and all his soul, just as David instructed? And if we say love is more than emotion, more than words, it's an action, I would say he doesn't love God, right? So the scripture says that Solomon had turned away from God. And if the rest of the story goes that because of that, basically Israel was at its peak of wealth, of influence, and it just all crumbled when God was no longer the focus. So later, also in the New Testament, Jesus shares of the one commandment that we have. And that is there's many versions, but Mark 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. So I know we all know this passage, and it can seem like the Bible has so much instruction, right? There's so many things. Don't do this, you know, don't murder. You gotta tithe, you gotta fast, you know, you gotta embrace the spiritual gifts. There's so many things that we need to do, but we need to remember this, to love our Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul. Because, you know, we always ask the question, what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Because if there's an egg, a chicken has to give birth to that egg, I don't know if that's the right word. And or if there's an egg, but where did the chicken come from? So this is not chicken and the egg. The first thing must be to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And when that happens, the other things will follow, right? If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you don't want to commit sin. You do not want to commit adultery. You do not want to steal. If you love the Lord, that's the things you don't do. But on the flip side, there's also the things that you want to do, right? If you love the Lord your God all your soul, you want to pray because you want to draw near to him. You want to fast because you want to draw near to him. You want to, in the same way King Solomon, he wanted to love his people. I mean, interestingly enough, that's the second commandment, which is to love your neighbor, right? But as a result of that natural overflow of loving the Lord God with all his heart and soul, he wanted to take care of his people, right? So I just wanted to also share, you know, in house church last week, we kind of went around and we talked about, we asked everyone in our house church, what is a follower, right? Or let them, we had Pastor Eugene define it, but we also wanted everyone to define it for themselves. Like personally, what does that mean in a very personal way, what a follower is? And for the most part, people said, if I am a follower of Christ, my life will be very consistent. It won't be so up and down, right? And the reason being is because if you're really following Christ and you're loving God with all your heart and soul, you're not putting your hope in your circumstances. Because circumstances go up, down, but God is very consistent. He's always faithful. And so the conclusion, so how do you do that? And this was a revelation shared with by one of our sisters, and it was kind of something that Tim Keller shared as well. And she said, what I've learned now is I can only put my hope in God. I've learned, and, you know, the sister was going through different seasons and stuff. And says, you know, I've put my hope in my family. I've put my hope in work. I've put my hope in my, you know, for instance, children and or my husband. And I've realized that all these things can crumble. And when those things crumble, I will crumble. But if I put my hope in God, then I will, in that sense, never crumble, right? Because God will always be consistent. So if we could get the worship up. So I encourage you in this time as we worship, it's really an opportunity. You know, we are in God's house. He is listening. He is watching us. In love, of course, and we have this opportunity to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and we have also that capacity to please God, to put a smile on his face. let's take some time to also pray for ourselves first. Just as King Solomon, you know, he really did love God and put a smile on his face, but, you know, as he was blessed by God, he began to turn away from God. He started to compromise his relationship with God. So let's just take a time to, if we have anything, to really just reflect and also repent of those things that in some ways either God has given us or maybe God hasn't given us. Regardless of that, we need to have love God with all our heart, with all our mind, of all our soul. So let's just go to God in that matter. After loving our God is, of course, loving our neighbor. So let's lift up our community, those who are sick, those with cancer, going through chemo, transplant. Physical health, but who also need salvation. Let's pray that God would use the people around them to speak that truth, you know, or speak to them even in dreams, that they would come to know our great God. Restoration. God loves these people, their sons, their daughters. Let's pray for just full restoration. Just as Solomon and as Jesus instructed, you know, even as they are looking for jobs and, you know, they are in need of finances, that they would still seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And as they do that, that God would, because of that, also that they would God would just bless them so abundantly and provide for them. Today, and that's for China. Let's pray for SPBJ, the Chong family, Madeline's parents, Basaraba's Leanne, who is here in Hong Kong right now. So let's pray that she just really feels refreshed and it's just a wonderful rest. And let's pray for Edie Clark and Chi Chi Har kids and churches. Ministries where newcomers can also plug in. Churches, Bonham House Church, Kowloon, Long Hoi Fong, and Old Peak Road. Let's pray for a time of where it's of course there's fellowship, but it'd be even more than fellowship. It's where they can really experience God together, and it would be that experience that would bring just unity and love to the House Church. God, you're good, you're faithful, and you you love us so much, and you just always have our best interests. So Lord, I just pray for everyone here today, Lord, as they go off to their work or school or their families, just as they leave here, God, that you would be at the forefront of priority for them. Help us, God, that we would not compromise, that we would be aware even if we start to compromise, Lord God. And I know as we stay faithful to you, Lord, and as we just seek you wholeheartedly, that you will just bless everyone abundantly, God, and you will lead us, God, so that we will be sure in our ways. Just thank you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. So please continue to just spend that time with God, that intimate time with God.